But today's daf is daf Gimel, the second Baba Kama, and we're holding right in the middle of some of the most exciting things, in which yesterday we learned a Mishnah of Arba Avot Nezikin, which were extremely vague. We didn't even know what they were. Shor, Bor, Mav, and Hever, we still don't really know what they are. But in the context of analyzing the first word, the Arba Avot, we tried to figure out what exactly is the meaning of Avot, and we brought, if you recall, two concepts of Avot, one that appears by the Inyonim of Melechet Shabbat, the other one that appears by the Inyonim of the Tumot, of Av HaTumah, Toldah LaTumah. And we wondered what exactly the use of the concept of Av and Toldah was when it comes to Nezikin, and Rabbi came up with a Zen-like statement that left us okay. It is both. So it's also, there are Kayotzebehem, there's Lav Kayotzebehem, and then we embarked on a quest to try to figure out what it was that Rav Papa meant when he said, Yeshmem Kayotzebehem, Yeshmem Lav Kayotzebehem. And because of that, of course, we had a fine excuse to start analyzing what exactly these Avot are, but we didn't get to the Mishnah yet. But we did discover that Shor can represent three different things. We said it was Karen, and it was Shane, and it was Regel, the Karen being the horn. We ended up yesterday going through the idea of Karen and discovered that Karen is actually an abstract concept that has nothing to do with horns, but that what it means is damage that is done by a self-motivated organism that actually has intent, and therefore it's aimed at you. It's not just doing damage. It's out there like a missile trying to figure out how to do that damage, and that you would be chayav for that, but we could not see any reason that Rav Papa's idea of Lav Kayotzebehem could possibly apply to Karen. I mean, after all, there's nothing that is even similar to the idea of the attenuated Toldah. It's just the same thing. It's just conceptually the same. So we gave up on Karen being the explanation for Rav Papa, and we started looking around for what it might be. So we said, okay, it can't be Karen. And the last words that we said yesterday were four lines up from the bottom of Beit Amud Beit. We said, it must be, therefore, that told it a Karen to Karen, the Chikomer of Papa, Ashen Verega. So it must be on the other two elements of the Shor. If it's not the Karen element, then it would be the Shane, which literally means a tooth. Obviously, we're going to have to figure out the idea of the Shane. And the Regel, which literally means a leg. But again, we'll have to figure out what that means. Sorry? We're saying perhaps that's what he was referring to. Maybe. Let's take a look at that. Okay, so first thing we need to do in order to get to the bottom of Rav Papa's cryptic statement is to figure out what exactly Shein V'Regel are. So first of all, Echaktive. Where in the world do we find an indication in the Torah that Shein and Regel represent concepts of Mazikin? Well, the Pasuk actually describes payment that is necessary. And it's also strange that in the Pasuk itself, it's very, very abstract. It doesn't tell us what it's talking about. It says, Ki Yav'er Ish Sadeh O Keren. What is that supposed to mean, Yav'er? It sounds sort of like fire or something. It means to consume. So to consume a field or a vineyard, V'shilachet Bi'iro. Now he sends his agent of consumption, which usually means, I mean, this is real Pentagonese, you know. So he sends his agent of consumption, which actually means this animal that's walking around chewing up the other guy's field, I suppose, his agent of consumption. Ubier b'steyacher, and the agent of consumption goes and consumes in that other field. Then meitav sadehu, meitav karmo yishalem. He's going to have to pay back from the best of his own property, his own produce, what it is that this guy damaged, that this agent of damage damaged. And we want to analyze that very, very cryptic pasuk, and we say, look, there are two points. If you look closely at that pasuk, there's two points. One is vishilach. Vishilach means he sent the agent. And the other is the description of what it is that the agent did, ubi'er, the agent consumed. Now, there's no need for us to be told vishilach separately. Because the idea over here is you can let it go. You don't have to kick it in the rump into another guy's field. So therefore, we're referring to two different issues, which we will now show you represent regel and the other representing shame. So it says vishilach. Now that word vishilach has got to mean regel, and I'll tell you why I say so. V'cheinu omer, mishalche regel, ashor v'chamar, look at that. The word shiluach refers specifically to a foot, an abstract foot, but a foot. Ubi'er, to consume, refers to a shein. V'cheinu omer, ka'asher yiva'er. Now here the pasuk is talking about the destruction of the family of Yeravam, famous pasuk, yichrati li'Yeravam mashtin bekir, And they're talking about the complete and total destruction, the way the Yiva'er HaGalal Atumo. Now, again, very poetic statement, Yiva'er HaGalal. We don't even know what that means. Galal could mean a number of different things. It could be a lashon of gilui, keeping things uncovered. It could be a lashon of dung, glalim, clay glalim is dung. It could be a lashon of shayish, of marble. Because we Evan Galal, we find Nidbachim the Evan Galal, that's the Rabbeinu Hananel points out. But whatever it means, it's a reference to something which is ivory-like, is sometimes visible, sometimes not visible, Galal, and that takes material and turns it into dung. Now all of that sort of adds up to teeth. Okay, so the Yiva'er, the agent of consumption over here, the abstract agent of consumption has now been exposed to be a tooth. So it's an animal's tooth. Okay, well. Now let me examine that statement. You've proven to me that v'shilach is regel by bringing a pasuk. And that's the only way we know this. In other words, we can't use our brains to figure this out without a pasuk. Taima, the cut of rakonu v'shalach regel ashor v'chamor. If we hadn't found such a pasuk written, halavach, let's say we wouldn't have found that pasuk. Tell me what you would have said. We're talking about an abstract agent. What's the agent? You tell me, okay? But my mukmatla, what would you say it was? A Karen? You got a whole parsha about a Karen. Ki yigach shor, ki yigov shor. Why would this be a Karen, for heaven's sake? Is it a shame? You just showed me that the other part of the pasuk is referring to a shame. So by the process of elimination, I mean, can't I figure out myself that v'shilach is referring to something movable that goes out, and it's a regel, for heaven's sakes. K'tiv. Says Gemara, no, I need that pasuk to show me that the word v'shilach itself, not through process of elimination, but the word v'shilach itself represents a regel. Why? Because if I hadn't had it, salkada techamina, I might certainly have entertained the notion that both elements of this pasuk, the shilach, is the bi'er. So in other words, you sent out your agent of consumption, meaning there are two elements of shame. Both of them are being mentioned in this pasuk. One of them is mechal yakarna, and one of them is lo mechal yakarna, kamash malan. Now this is an extremely vital issue in the concept of Nezikin, and actually can change our entire perception of what Nezikin is all about. Rashi learns that Mechal Yakarna would be the lo Mechal Yakarna. Mechal Yakarna is obvious. When it says Ubir, Ubir means consumption. Okay. Now that means that the Shin is something that puts an end to what it is that it consumes, particularly if it means Galal and turning it into dung. I mean, obviously, it's now fully processed and consumed that which it consumed. How about if it didn't? Lo mechal yakarna, did not consume fully. Now, what does not consume fully mean? Obviously, it doesn't mean did not consume fully the other guy's field. Whatever it ate. I mean, whatever it didn't eat, it didn't eat. And why in the world could we even entertain for a moment the thought that you're only chayiv and eat up the whole field? I mean, that's a joke. So it has to do, therefore, with a redefinition of what type of consumption of that which it consumed. Now, here we have a number of different approaches. Rashi learns that what we're talking about over here is that the animal eats the tfu'ah, the grain, that has grown slightly, that can be used indeed as animal fodder at this stage, and it will then regrow. It's just that it will not grow as well as it would previously have grown, but it regrows. And therefore, I would have said, look, if shame is meant to be a consumer, it hasn't really consumed. It's part of consumption that the damage is total to what it was that it ate.
Oh, man.
Tosa says that's absurd. Because the damage is complete. In other words, let's say you damaged the ability of this tvua to be used by the owner as animal feed. Why isn't that damaged? Who cares if it regrows? Why would I have thought that the level of consumption needs to be a consumption that allows no other profit from what it was that you took? What I consumed. I don't understand what Rashi is talking about, says Tosfos. Could the owner have sold that? Could the owner have used it for his own animal? Was that totally destroyed? It was. So pay for it. What's the problem? Therefore, says Tosfos, that can't be what it means at all. What it's got to be referring to is a damaged by shame that doesn't consume. For instance, suppose the animal sees a nice pile of tomatoes and decides, what a nice place to relieve myself. Uh-huh. So now we can wash those tomatoes. Matter of fact, most of the tomatoes you buy have been washed. Right there, you know. but we won't think about that. That's why you better use good soap. But anyway, it's tinfub. It doesn't crush the tomatoes. It dirties the tomatoes. So in other words, there's no consumption at all. No consumption. Obviously, you caused me a loss. It caused me a loss. I'm going to have to pay a lot of money to clean this off and so on in order to be able to make it worth something. What's the din over there? Is ubir an absolute requirement of shame? So it needs to consume. It didn't consume. It caused damage without consuming. So I need to know that in a case where damage is done without kilui, which nothing has been done to the actual thing, it's just that I've changed the circumstances in a way now that makes it unusable, that too is shame. That's Tosfos' approach. Otherwise, ubir would have defined shame as the consumer par excellence. Okay. Then we have the Rashba's approach. The Rashba's approach is similar to Rashi, except that he says it's not that the peirot will not grow back as well, and therefore there's only a damage in ultimate value. That's not the point. The point over here is that actually you ended up making the peirot grow back better. There are cases where it's necessary to get rid of the initial growth in order to stimulate the plant to grow more. So what are you going to say? You damaged my plants. You helped me out. The only thing I'm saying is that, you know, but I could have had my animal help me out. I didn't need your animal to help me out. Okay, but that's a question. Since ultimately a service was performed, would I need to pay by depriving you of the money for that service? Now, that seems to include the same question that Tosfos would have had on Rashi. And indeed, it is a striking question. And here, I think we need to rethink the nature of payment for Nezikin, because this is an extremely central yisod. You'll notice that what we've been talking about so far in Nezikin is an abstraction of concepts called avot, in which we're assuming that the Torah uses these words about chains and regels and shores and bars as simple terms that you can then analyze and abstract. But, I mean, it's not that we're really interested in the terms per se. It's not that a shore has any particular meaning. It's not that a bar has any particular meaning. There's only one problem with that approach, and it's a very serious problem. There is a difference in the tashlumin for stealing a shor, stealing a seh, and stealing a pet. Now that's mad. If these are abstractions, how could there be a difference in what particular type of animal it is? So that means that we're not dealing purely with abstraction. So then what are we dealing with? In the concept of nezikin, the truth is, when we repay money, we're not paying back for the nezikin. We're paying an analog for the nezikin. But an analog. It's just an analog. The value of the money is analogous to a particular element in the damage that was caused, which is the value of the damage, not the damage. So in other words, if I'm coming back and I'm saying, this was my mother's heirloom painting, and you're going to pay me what I would have gotten in a pawn shop, you'll say, well, what can you do? You know, those are the kind of things that we can't value. That value, why is value the issue? Why should value be the issue? Maybe you should recommission a guy to paint it. I mean, get me back my thing. The Torah is not being mechayev to get you back the thing, correct? In all kinds of ways. Because, for instance, I smash up your car. It now costs you $1,500 to fix your broken fender. You come to me now, I'll pay din in Ezekiel, and you want your $1,500. I say to you, I'm not paying you your $1,500. What? But that's what you caused. I'm not responsible for causing you to put out money. Don't fix your fender. Your car still works. So what you're insisting is that you want your car to be in pristine condition. But the halacha is that the damages are defined by analyzing the value of the car on the market before the damage was caused, subtracting the value of the car on the market after the damage was caused, and my paying you the difference. Now, in your crummy jalopy, the difference between the broken fender and not the broken fender was $10. That's what I'm paying you. You want to make it nice again? This is your problem. This is not my problem. Go fix it or go sell it. Do whatever you want, but don't come to me to pay you for damages. Now, this is an entirely different concept of damages. It's not you're responsible for causing damages. You need to pay for the value damage. This is a tremendous yisod in the dinim of torts. Since that is the case, it means that there is a specific relationship to an object. It's the object. The Torah is only telling you, I want you to compensate for one element of the object that was hurt, and that's the value. I'm not holding you responsible for other elements, except in particular cases. Now, if I have a particular relationship to a shor, which I don't have to assess, and what would that relationship be? Well, my shor, I use it to work in my fields, and it's very valuable to me, and it's a trained animal, it means a lot to me, and so on. That's not going to reflect itself in a value on the market because maybe the shore won't work for anybody else. You're the only one that's got the relationship with it. So how am I going to pay you for it? There the Torah does define very particular ideas of how you're going to repay if you did things in a vicious way and so on and so forth. But clearly, we are coming to discuss the nature of ownership when we deal with Nizik. The nature of ownership in the Torah is surprisingly exactly the same word that we used for intercourse. Ba'alut, to be boel. And in fact, in English, we use the word husbandry. Animal husbandry, there's the same idea. But it's a reflection of the particular relationship, the intimacy of the relationship, which I never pay back. I can't. I take an analog. Comes along Rashi and says, if you're not Mechal Yakarna, how do you know that the Torah was Mechayev of you to pay value at all? That's the point. Tosfos jumps to a conclusion when he asks on Rashi. Tosfos says, I don't understand. Are we paying value? Bottom line, analyze the value. This guy could have had it, or you get a telephone call that's more valuable to you than the learning at the time. So at that point, you got to decide. Anyway, so what do you do? He's incorrigible. Just, I thought his brother would be here, would keep it. No, no, no.
Even from Gaza.
No, no, even from his brother.
There is no change in Gaza right now.
But we probably could have known that in 40 minutes from now. Nothing major would have changed. That's what happens when you're controlling the world from the Daf Yomi room. Hold on. Okay, so Tosfos jumps to a conclusion. Tosfos saying, look, the bottom line is, after we know the dinim of Nezikin, then what are we saying? That you're paying back value. So what's the difference of the value if it completely grows back? It doesn't completely grow back. But remember that Rashi is questioning over here, according to Rashi. The Gemara is questioning the nature of Nezikin. We're still at the level in which we're analyzing the meaning of an avamazik. Therefore, says Rashi, if I don't know that there was a direct damage to the object, okay, the object is still here and the object is regrowing. So what are you going to say? Yeah, but I mean, there's a difference in value. Maybe value only kicks in after we've decided that this type of damage is damage. Then you'll pay back the damage through value. But we don't determine the meaning of damage by a change in value. Yes, Abadir.
What's the relationship, this intercourse, between intercourse and ownership that you were explaining? What's that?
That is the intimacy of the relationship. Is, in other words, the object as an object. There's an I-thou relationship with an object that is not reflected in its value. And that, we need to first determine what the Torah is going to be mechayev as a mazik, and then we can say, okay, now we'll give you an analog for your loss. I mean, obviously, there's times where, you know, some horrible damage has been done. There's no way to fix the damage. So then the law searches for an analog. No mother is ever going to say, you took out my kid's eye. The $1 million makes up for it. Nothing will make up for it. Yet we're analyzing some level of a sense of damage. Okay, so this is here, it's in all elements that we view that relationship as being extended. All right, so we have, in any event, three approaches with the difference between Mechayev Karna and Lo Mechayev Karna, Rashi, Tosfos, and Rashbam. But I certainly would have thought, if I hadn't have known that Veshilach is a reference to Regal, that there might be two types of Shein, and if only one of them had been said, I would have immediately said, well, that one is the one that's Mechal Yakarna. How would I know Lo Mechal Yakarna? Therefore, I need Veshilach to tell me that there is a Regal. Completely. Finishes. Kilui. Kilui is finished. Completely. Karen. Karen means the principle. No, not the horn. The word Karen means either principle in monetary things or it means the horn. Hamashmah. Okay, says the Gemara, but so now we're in trouble. Because now you're saying that actually Veshilach is not referring to Shein. It's referring to Regal. So now we only have one pasuk for Shein. So now how do we know both elements of Shein? You said, if I only knew one pasuk, I'd only know one element, which is Shein, that's Mechal Yakarna. So hashtadukim na Regal. Shein de lo Mechal Yakarna minola. How now do we know, indeed, that a Shein that's not Mechal Yakarna is also included in Ubir? Ah, because by definition, you see, the Regal is not Ubir. Isn't that true? By definition, a regal is something that doesn't consume at all. It's walking over things. Okay, so then it's not Mechal Yakarna. So ma regal, lo shna Mechal Yakarna. There's no indication that regal is a consumer. There's only Veshilach. Therefore, just like regal is not Mechal Yakarna particularly, it makes no difference whether it is Mechal Yakarna. It's not Mechal Yakarna. If you take a regal and you walk over some things and you make them dirty and walked over your computer case, so that's not Mechal Yakarna, but it's certainly something that needs to be repaired. So there, just like regal, it makes no difference, lo shna lo Mechal Yakarna, af shein that's put into the same pasuk, lo shna Mechal Yakarna, lo shna lo Mechal Yakarna. Okay. Then we have Ubir. You said Ubir is a Hashem, and you proved it from the Pasuk V'cheinu Omer, Ka'asher Yiva'er Hagalal Ad Tumo. The time that Kadosh Baruch Hu Manak Asher Yiva'er Hagalal Ad Tumo, I got the same problem that I had before. You're saying the only way that I know that Ubir is Hashem is because the Pasuk indicates that a Galal, which is a tooth, is Miva'er. And if I wouldn't have known that, would I not have come up with the same idea through the process of elimination? Let's say you wouldn't have had that pasuk. Okay, what would you have said it is? Merry-go-rounds. What would you have thought it is? You sent your agent of destruction, and it destroyed with, yes, Karen. You already read about that. Regel, you already said that. You sent your agent of destruction. So, and it destroyed could only be through consuming. Ubir, it consumed. Okay, so what do I need a pasuk for? I have a brain. So why not say that it means through the process of elimination, that it means shame? It says beferush the other parasha ki yigov ki yigach iregel k'tiv. Ah, no, it's true. You see, because let's say that the Torah would only have said v'shilach. Okay, now I would have said to myself, but v'shilach indicates that the guy kicked the animal in the rear and got it moving into the other guy's field. He said, don't eat here. This is my stuff. Go eat Joe's field. How about if I don't give it a kick? How about if it wanders off and I had left it in my field, chomping happily? So maybe over there I'm not chayev. Therefore it says ubiyah. You say, well, don't think it has to be v'shilach. Okay, so then I would say, I need both psukim to teach me the din of rega. Why would I have had through process of elimination shame, you see? So I would have thought that ide v'ide a rega. Both are a reference to damage caused by rega and not by shame. And hada azum b'mela, hada shalach shaluche. One of them is a reference to going on its own. The other is where I sent it out. Because I need to know both of those things. Kamash Malan therefore comes along the pasuk of Kasher Yivaer Hagalal Atumo to teach me that it's actually talking about a shame, not a regal. Yes, amazing, absolutely amazing. Show me that ivory, baby. Show me that ivory. Kasher Yivaer Hagalal. Goodness gracious. Okay, so v'hashtu du'uki Hashem. So wait a minute, so now we have a problem. So now you're telling me it's shame. So now how do you know both elements of regal? How do you know a regal that went on its own without being v'shilach? How do I know that you'd be chayev? So regal da'az v'mele minola. How do I know that a regal can wander out on its own and still be chayev doing it a shame? Because now that I know that the other one is shame, it's like the shame. Ma shen lo shna shalcha shaluchi. I mean, there's no indication in the shame that it has to be sent out. And that's the whole point. Animals like to eat, and they're going to be drawn to the delicious tomatoes in the other guy's field. Loshna doesn't mamela. Afrega loshna shalcha shaluche. Loshna azla mamela. But, I mean, you're telling me that we had to do all of this. What if it would have just said v'shilach, okay? Without the cryptic ubir. So wouldn't that be enough? Let the Torah just write v'shilach. V'lo boi ubir. Because the word v'shilach itself is mashma both regal and shame. Regal, you've already showed me. It says mishalke regal ashor v'achamor. However, it's also mashma shame because I will show you that there's a pasuk that says v'shen behem ba'amod ashalach ba. Now, obviously, ashalach means I will send out those shens. So there you go. We have the lashon of v'shilach as a consuming machine, referring to a shen without requiring the ubiyah, and we have both of them indicated with the same word. So the Gemara, well, I mean, if I wouldn't have that extra pasuk, I would have said you only have a choice, one or the other. I mean, the word could mean shen, could mean regal. Sa'avamina oha oha. So I would say, maybe it means regal, and I would find a logical reason for that, because regal is hezekom matsui. The reason that regal is something that is chayav on, perhaps, is because it's the kind of thing that happens just as a matter of course. Or maybe it means shame, because there's a reason to say it's shame dieshana ale zeko. I mean, that happens because an animal is motivated to eat. So how would I have known both? What is that supposed to mean? How would you have known both? Mirte shkulimei. I mean, can you put a greater value on hezekom matsui? Or on Hana'al HaZeko. There's no way to establish some type of value in this on a scale. So you wouldn't have had a clue. The rule is, if you don't have a clue, then you have to take both. Because you have no reason to say it means one and not the other. And that's called Shkuline, things that have exactly the same weight. And therefore, Yavo Shneyem, they would both be included. Daimi Naoma Fakta. How would you be able to exclude one without rational basis? Okay, that's true, but let me point out this. If it only said v'shilach, and I used v'shilach to tell me both shein v'regal, then it would be certainly correct to think that part of the requirement for the chiyuv and damages is to give the animal a kick in the rump and have it go. But if it just wanders out when I left it, then maybe I would be potter, whether it's shein or egel. Gamash malan. So now, turns out that actually things are different than what they seem to be. Actually, v'shilach and ubir are interchangeable to some extent. It's just because we have both of them, we look more to the consuming agent, more to the walking agent, and we learn out one from the other. But theoretically, they are both really innate in the opening of the pasuk itself, of the v'shilach. Okay, so now we know whether you were shalach shluchi, not shalach shluchi, whether you have a kaya karna, lo kaya karna, we have both shein and regel. All right, so now let's get back to Rav Papa. Okay, Rav Papa said, somewhere or other, look closely and you shall find, my son, that there is a toda that is not similar to the av. Now, we were hoping that this is it. So, now that we've defined shein v'regel, let's look at the toldot of shein v'regel and see whether they might fit the bill to be toldot that are not like the av. All right, so toldot of shein mahi. What now is that toldot of shein? Well, okay, nitchakaka b'kotel ha'na'ata. It's got to scratch its back. So it goes up to your beautiful wall that you just built yesterday and is drying and says, what a lovely place to scratch my back. Scratches its back, boom, away goes wall. Now that's, interestingly enough, a shame. Because what it's doing because it's driven for the pleasure. Or tinfa peirot la na'ata. Or now, it goes ahead now and rubs around its body in these peirot to scratch its back. There go the tomatoes. So then, why would that be any different? Maishna shein di yeshana ale ezeko. I mean, it's exactly like the shein. It's a difference whether, I mean, in abstract terms, it's a difference whether the shein is a piece of ivory or the shein is the back of the animal. It's all the same idea. Yeshan alezeko, it's motivated by the search for pleasure, same center in the brain, and it's mamoncha, ushmirato alecha. Obviously, the Torah is considering you to be responsible to take care of it. So, haninani, these are exactly the same. Yeshan alezekan, mamoncha, shmiratan alecha. So, sorry. Told it to Shane Kishain, forget about it. So now we know it can't mean Karen, Rav Papa. It can't mean Shane, Rav Papa. So what must it be? Must be Kikam Rav Papa, a told of the regel. Okay, what would be a told of regel? Well, Ezika Begufa Derechilucha. It's walking along and it rubs against something without focusing on rubbing, it's just walking, but something's in the way. And the something in the way happens to be a valuable crystal dish that you bought in Prague the last time that you were there. It's worth a few thousand dollars, and this animal is like a bull in a china shop. And it actually went ahead and broke the china. So that's a case of regal. It's not a case of shame. It's not a case of shore. It had no interest in attacking your beautiful china. So, or bisara derechiluka. Maybe something got caught in some of its hanging fur. Or bishlif she'aleh, or maybe it's got a package on its back, and this is what it ends up bumping into something. Or prumbia shebepi, it's got a bit in its mouth, and the bit bangs into something as it's walking. Or bizug shebetzavara, it's got this big bell, and the bell is shaking back and forth, and it hits the thing in the china shop. I don't know, whatever. I mean, so all of these things, even though they have nothing to do with feet, but they're obviously all feet to someone who looks with a abstract eye. And so, the din over there would be, sounds exactly like a foot to me. Maishna regel de zeko matsui. Look, I mean, the point of regel is that it's the kind of thing that just happens. And it's mamoncha, ushmirato alecha, aninami ezeken matsui, mamoncha shmiratan alecha. So, it's all the same. Must be told to the regel karego. Scratch that. So now we know Rav Papa wasn't referring to Karen. Rav Papa wasn't referring to Shane. Rav Papa's not referring to regel. Darn it, what was Rav Papa referring to? Ah. Must be that what Rav Papa was referring to was a tolda of a bor. Okay. What exactly would that be? Tolda of a bor, my. I mean, what is a tolda of a bor? I mean, all bors are basically bors. You know, what's the difference? What particular, what shape it is? I mean, what would make one a nav and one a tolda? Well, maybe like this. Ilema, if you're going to try to tell me, it's interesting that there's a special halacha by bor. And that halacha says that if the bor was deep enough to cause the death of the animal that falls in, and the animal dies, so that you would have expected that such a thing could happen, then you're responsible for the death. But if it's not, and an animal basically falls in without noticing, its foot falls into a hole in the ground that's, say, only a foot deep, and it drops dead. Now, obviously, what happened is that it was shocked, got a heart attack, whatever. But I can't say that in that case it was my boar that killed the animal. It was my boar that may have caused the reaction that killed the animal. I'm responsible for secondary causes. So what we do is we analyze two types of boar. We have a boar that's suitable for causing damage, and that's any level of boar at all could obviously cause damage. And we have a boar where it could cause death. The death-causing boar has to be at least 10 tefachim deep. Otherwise, we don't view it as being suitable for having directly caused the death of the animal. So maybe that's the difference. Maybe the av of a boar, since it does say in the pasuk v'hameti yelo, which means there is a dead animal here, so the pasuk is referring to a boar that's 10 tefachim deep, and then the tolda would be a boar that causes damages of 9 tefachim. But that's ridiculous, because, I mean, we said that a tolda has to be something that's directly referred to in the pasuk. I mean, the pasuk does not refer to one as opposed to the other. Lo tishak tivi v'lo yud ktivi. I mean, it doesn't say anything about 9, and it doesn't say anything about 10. I mean, it just says boar. You're the guys who figured out the 9 and the 10, so how did one suddenly become an av and one become a tolda? No, that doesn't bother me. Hello, Kasha. Because the pasuk specifically refers to a case where there's a dead animal, there's vamet yelo, and I have a right to define what is reasonable and to say that a boar would be able to cause death. So vamet yelo amarachmana v'kim lo l'rabbana. And the rabbana have figured out that asarat tvachim creates a boar that can do mita, and tishat tvachim only causes nizikin. Nizikin avde causes damages, mita lo avde. So maybe that's true. Maybe the pasuk is referring to a death-causing boar of 10 tefachim, and the tolda would be vis-a-vis the zikin of anything less than that. Yeah, but sorry, that doesn't make sense logically. Because you can't call one a tolda. So ze'av l'mitav, ze'av l'nizikin. It's the same boar. It's the same abstraction. Now you're talking about basically metrics. That's all you're talking about. So why would you call one a tolda? You have a boar that kills. You have a boar that causes damages. But that has nothing to do with the name of the game. The boar is a boar, whether it's 9 or whether it's 10, it's irrelevant to me. And therefore, it makes no sense to call that av and tolda. The relationship is just not similar to an av and tolda.
Ella.
Okay, but there's no separate abstraction at all. So why would one be an av and one a tolda? I'll tell you, a boar is a whole, but you can do the same thing as a boar by having the opposite of a hole. I mean, we've got concave bores and convex bores. How do we do that? Take a stone and put it down in the middle of the street and then have somebody fall. Okay? That's a bore. So, I mean, maybe that's not the bore. I certainly wouldn't call it a bore, only in the abstract sense. We now take a bore, which means a hole in the ground, a pit, and we say, well, a pit is not a pit. A pit is an obstacle. Exactly the same way that we said a horn is not a horn. A horn is an intent to damage. Okay, so now we have a concept of a tolda by a boar. A pit is actually now abstracted into an obstacle. Any obstacle, whether concave or convex, is now included in the concept of boar. There you go. So now we know what a tolda to boar is. So avdo sakino umasa'o, shinichan b'shatarabi, you set down a stone, a knife, or for that matter, your backpack. You put your backpack down from the middle of the street, somebody falls over it and is hurt. Okay? Well, no, not okay. Hey, Hidoni, wait a second, what's the case? Did you maintain ownership of your backpack when you set it down? Or did you intend to leave your backpack there forever? Because, I mean, obviously, when you dig a hole, you don't own the hole. When you have a backpack, maybe the backpack is a shore. Maybe it's a regal, because you own the shore, you own the backpack. Who's to say that that's a bore? I'm not convinced, Richie!
I'm not convinced, Richie?
Ah, he started speaking to himself. It had to happen. That's the danger of loops. All right. So, if you don't eat the afkarina. Now, if you had actually intended to leave it there, your backpack is going to stay there, and that's it. So, eat afkarina. So, then clearly that's a bore. So, bein l'rav, bein l'shmuel, hainu bore. That's a bore. It's an obstacle, and there could possibly be a difference between it and the bore. I mean, eat the lo afkarina. And if you own the backpack, well, then, according to Shmuel, who says, Kula miboru lamadnu, Shmuel says any obstacle comes under the rubric bor. Okay, so then this is a bor. According to Rav, who says that's not true, any unowned obstacle comes under the rubric of bor. Any damage-causing obstacle that you own is essentially a shor. So then, hainu shor. Okay, so I don't even have to explain, by the way, is it really a shor? I mean, a shor is motivated, self-motivated. I certainly couldn't know, given a shore, that a backpack is a shore. I mean,
passive shore.
That's an awfully passive shore. It's got to wait for you to fall into it. I mean, I don't know how I would know that from shore. So Tosis explains when we say Einu shore, we mean that its shore only has expanded by interrelating shore with bor, which we can do later. We're going to show how the interrelationships between various avot create new hybrid categories, but this would be a hybrid.
A bor shore, exactly.
That's a question, we'll see. But, well, it would be a tolda only of the hybrid, of the interrelationship between the two of them. So it's an emergent tolda, but you couldn't call it direct tolda. But it would still have to be kiyotzeben because it would share both elements. Okay, so that part is a little bit strange. Why are we taking for granted that we don't have to analyze the hybrid element of it? We'll talk about that later, as Tosva says here. Let's wait till we get there because it's a more complex idea. So far, we've been trying to keep things clean without needing to get into hybrids. But you can obviously see why, okay, you know, if you had a kid's toy that was battery run and you left that in the middle of the Rishus HaRavim, then you can easily see that there would be a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel as to whether are we talking essentially about an obstacle or is a moving obstacle the equivalent of a shore. That would be closer to this idea. All right. But in any event, is this possibly what it was that Rav Papa is referring to? No. Because Maishna Bor, again, the thing that makes Bor so important is that the idea of a Bor is that the moment that it is set up, anybody who looks at it says, oh boy, that's dangerous. Right? Don't make that hole. Somebody's going to get hurt. Don't put that down in the middle of the street. Somebody's going to get hurt. So there, it's Tchilat Asiyatan LaHezek. Its initial formation is a contributor to damage and nothing else, basically. So then, there is that defining characteristic, and it's Mamoncha Shmiratan Alecha, which is problematic because it's not Mamoncha. And that's actually the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. What is the din if you own the bor? Is it a bor? Is it a shore? So Tosha says the mamoncha got thrown in over here because that's what we've been used to saying in all the other cases here, but certainly a lav dafka mamoncha. And shmiratan alecha. So that can't be the case. Ella told it a bor kebor. Scratch bor. Okay, so scratch Karen, scratch Shane, scratch Regal, scratch bor. So what was Rav Papa talking about? Ella told it a bor kebor. Must be that Rav Papa was talking about mavet. Well, that'd be great if we knew what a mava was. So I told it a mava, Nino. Okay, well, what's that? My Nino. I mean, Elish Shmuel, we're going to see later that Shmuel says that the mava refers to Shane. Well, but we already discussed that. Okina told it to Shane. We've already shown, demonstrated that Shane does not have Todot Relav Kiyotzeben. If, according to Rav, who says that mava is actually a reference to a human being who causes damage, Ze Adam. So then where do we get avot and toldot when it comes to Adam? I mean, anything that he does is Adam. Adam HaMazik. Why would there be such a thing as a told of Adam? The Chitim, if you try to tell me that the nature of Adam HaMazik as an Av is when he's awake and therefore is responsible for his conscious actions or even for his carelessness as a conscious organism, and the told of the Adam is the sleeping person who went to sleep right next to your beautiful china and flipped around in his sleep like a bull in a china shop, and that would be the tolda. But the problem is that's not Adam Muad La'alam, Ben Yashin. The Adam is always considered to be Muad. It's set up as a damager. Whether he's awake or whether he's asleep, it couldn't make any difference. Therefore, the case must be, perhaps, that the tolda of the Adam is his spit. The guy spits. He causes damage through spitting. Okay. So kichov v'nio is phlegm, is spit. Zechidon, what's the case? Did he spit and hit somebody's beautiful silk dress? I mean, ibahadid azek amaske koko. If it was damaging as he spit, it's no different than damaging as he throws a rock at somebody's head. I mean, it's exactly the same thing. It's his car. That's the adam amazek. What's the difference if it's the adam with his fist or the adam with something that he throws with his fist or spits? Same thing. And then ibatid anayach, if it's after it lands on the ground, somebody slips and breaks their back, then it's a bor, because he certainly doesn't intend to collect his spit and to sell it for research, so that it would now be not hefker, it's hefker. So ibatid anayach, bein l'rav, bein l'shmuel, hainu bor. So therefore, we're stuck. I don't care what the mava is, told it a mava kemava. So scratch mava, scratch Karen, scratch Regel, scratch Shane, scratch bor. What the heck was Rav Papa referring to? There's only one thing left. Kikom Rav Papa told a daish. Okay. What is a told a daish? Well, you may ma'av no sakino maso, shenichan barosh kago. A very interesting subset of aish would be something. You would think aish is fire, but you'd be terribly wrong. What aish is something that can damage by being motivated through outside forces. So that if you leave a rock on your roof in a place where it's poised to be blown off on somebody's head, you have just made a fire. In the same way that the fire will be blown by the wind into somebody else's field, your Evan will be blown onto somebody's head. Okay, so that's the case, perhaps. You left stone or a backpack on the roof, and it fell down in a ruach mitzuya, in a wind that was a standard wind in the area that you should have thought about, viziku. Again, we have to ask, echidami, how was the damage caused? Was the damage caused while it was in fall? So your head came between it and the ground, just at the wrong time. So at that point, then it's a clear H. Because Maishna H, just as the defining characteristic of an H, is koach achanu rav behem. You understand that we are doing extremely concentrated work here. In other words, we're going through the essence of the mazik in all in one day, which should have been done over the course of a month, so that I'm asking you to pay close attention. We're taking more time than you usually take. So just like an age, the defining characteristic is that some other energy is required by it to do its hezek. But it's mamoncha again. That's not strictly true. And as Tosu says, it's the same problem. You don't necessarily own a fire. Ushmirato alecha. You're supposed to take care of it. These are no different. Haninamikoach akamura them. Umamoncha ushmiratan alecha. Scratch age. Darn. There's nothing left. There's nothing left. No age. No mave. No regal, no Karen, no bor, no shame. What in the world was Rav Papa referring to? Mystery deepens. What does Agatha have to say? Ah, Ella told it to Eishka. Eish, v'chikom Rav Papa, I told it to regal. Ha! No, wait a minute. Regal, okimna, you said already, told it to regal, karegal. I have a surprise up my sleeve. A brand new type of tolda. A type of tolda which is exactly like the tolda of Tuma. In which you have level A, and then an attenuation of level A into level B. Ha! And what is that? An animal walks along the street, and in the course of walking, which is regal, hits a rock. The rock then is now flies, breaking the window of your automobile. Okay, now that regal never came close to your automobile. But the energy of the regal was imparted to a secondary particle, which damaged your automobile. Just like Avatuma told it a tuma, second order damages. That was a brilliant way for Rav Papa to say there's a whole different idea of tolda. Isn't that beautiful? So now we indeed have our toldos that are conceptual toldos, as in Shabbat, where it's obviously going to have the same halacha as the defining characteristic, the model. But then we have a completely different sense of what a tolda is, a derivative, a physical derivative, an energy derivative, just like Tuma has Tuma derivatives. And indeed, it will then be attenuated in terms of its energy in Tashlumin, because the halacha is, when it comes to Tzrorot, pebbles that are scattered by a regal, you only pay 50% of the damage. How do you like that? Is that beautiful? I don't see the smile. I just don't see the smile. No joy, just hand waving. I'm responding to you, but you're just waving. Say that?
Just foreseeability in this? Are we hitting on?
Yeah, absolutely. You took your animal.
Anything foreseeable from where I can take this hold up?
Not anything, only those things. Again, remember, I have a right to walk my animal. You have a right to have your car. We both have rights, we both have responsibilities. I need to know where my rights are more valuable than my responsibilities to watch out for you, and you need to watch yourself. You can't make a statement like you just made, because then you'd be saying, doesn't matter, it's no-fault insurance. It's not no-fault insurance. We need to assign fault, and in order to do that, we need to go through these mazikin and see where the Torah has taught us that the fault is indeed on the damager and not on the damagee. You should have
responsibility.
Exactly. We have mutual rights and responsibilities, and that mutuality leads to this masechta. We have to define them carefully. Okay, so this is coming to tell me, Chatzi Nezek Tzorot, the Hilchot HaGemirah, that is Halacha L'Moshe Sinai, that it pays only 50%. So then, in what sense are you calling it a tolda v'rega? Why not make it its own category? It's a whole new thing, right? So then, am I correlating tolda v'rega? It doesn't share the tashlumim of rega. It's irrelevant that it's caused by the rega, because it's a, I mean, surely we're not going to go down to the plebeian level of thinking that feet are important. I mean, just because a foot kicked a stone, we're going to call it a foot, because it comes from a foot. What happened to our beloved abstraction? So why do we call it a tolda v'rega? That's the question. Ah, because l'shalem min ha'aliyah, we call it a tolda v'rega, because of the fact that it pays indeed from the same place that regel pays. If it's a chatzi nezek, you might have thought that it's a chatzi nezek similar to chatzi nezek of Karen. Chatzi nezek of Karen has a maximum liability. The maximum liability is that only the damaging agent needs to be sold, so to speak, in order to pay for it. So let's say one short damages another short with Karen, and it's only going to pay 50%. The damage that it caused was $1,000. The short itself is only worth $500. That's fine. But if the shor is worth $400, and I owe the guy $500, he's only going to get $400. Masha Inkin, if you're talking about regel, makes no difference how expensive the animal was. I'm going to pay out of my bank account. And the din of chatzi nezek tzorot is that it pays from bank accounts and not out of the damaging entity. Therefore, it is similar to regel, and we want to make that clear, so we give it a din of regel. But I thought that's not even known. Vami boy boy Rava, didn't Rava ask? The boy Rava chatzi nezek tzorot migufo mishalem o min aliyah mishalem. Rava wanted to know whether that's even true. Is chatzi nezek tzorot a din that is paid from the animal, or is it paid from a bank account? Well, says Rav Papa, I'm very happy that Rava is confused, okay? L'Rava mi boyle, L'Rav Papa pshitale. I say, that's exactly what I'm coming to teach you. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. There is, in fact, a type of tolda that is lafki yotzeban. Now you've figured it out. And now that you've figured it out all on your own, you know that Rava's wrong. Okay, but what about, according to Rava, by the way, L'Rava mi boyle, why indeed would we end up calling it a tolda d'rego? Ah, because the truth is Rava agrees with Rav Papa. It would be called a tolda v'rega. But then for what purpose? For the idea of telling me that it's pater b'rishut harabim. If, now, my ox goes ahead and stabs the window of your Volvo with its Karen, then it's going to be responsible. But if my shor walks in b'rishut harabim, where it's allowed to walk, then indeed it is not responsible. If you want to bring your car into an Indian, Rishus HaRabin, then you got to know that there's sacred cows in the way. So you have to take now your own precautions. The only time my regal is going to be chayev, and the only time my stone is going to be chayev, well, that we'll see later. What if it kicks in Rishus HaYochid and hits something in Rishus HaRabin? We'll discuss later. But the only time that I'm chayev is if I let it go into your Rishus. And therefore, I need to call this a tolda de regal. All right. To be continued in happy times.
What? I have to drop a bomb in a
I see current events.
We shouldn't be bored in the middle of Gaza.
Ah. I mean, were the Yotze say the mitzvah of the Mahadran, or was it only Yotze? Ella told her to Karen Kikaren, Vichikom Rav Papa, Shane Varegel, Shane Varegel, Ekekti, Vidatan, Vishilak, Zaregel, Vichinu, Amr, Mishalke, Regel, Ashorva, Kamor, Ubiyer, Zua, Shane. So you're telling me time lavochi, what would you say? I mean, the process of elimination, man. E keren k'tiv, e regel k'tiv, e tzrak that chamin e dividi a regel. V'had azim emela, v'had shalak shluchi, kamash malan. V'ashtadu ki Hashem regel di azim emela min alan, dum yed Hashem. Ma Hashem lo shna shalak shluchi lo shna azim emela, af regel lo shna shalak shluchi lo shna da azim emela. So lichto rachmona v'shilak v'lo boyu b'yir, de mashma regel, mashma shen, mashma regel di tiv v'shalak regel ha-shor v'achamor, mashma shen di tiv v'shin v'hemot ha-shalak. Because he loved Krayatira, Hava Mina Oha Oha, O Regel, Nezeko Matsui, O Shane, Dieshana Lezeko. Now that doesn't make sense, Bichtishkulamin, the Avoshni and Haimina Mafakta. Okay, it's exact. Told her the shein mayi. Okay, nitchakka bekotel lehanata bintin fa perot lehanata. So then, ma'ishna shein yeshana lezekam amon kashmirat analecha. Kanani yeshana lezekam amon kashmirat analecha. Ella told her the shein kishein. He come her papa. Maybe I told her the rega. Told the rega mayi. Izika begufa derech hilucha besara derech hilucha beshliv shela prum yeshopia zuk shebet sefara. So why would it be different? Ma'ishna rega lezekam matzim amon kashmirat analecha. Ani nami lezekam matzim amon kashmirat analecha. Ella told her the rega rega. But he come her papa. Told her the bar. What's it told her the bar? Ile ma'ava sara v'told her tisha. Ella tisha k'tivim lo atzara k'tivim. No, no, Kasha. I made Yalom Rachmana. We came to the Rabban and Asra of the Mita. Tisha and the Zikin of the Mita Lo Avdi. Okay, but still. So, the Avdi Mita is Avdi the Zik. Ella, let's say Avno Sakinu Maso. In Ichan Bershut Rabbi Vizik. Well, first you got to tell me Yechidami. Ida Avkarinu, Bein Lorav Bein Lishmol, Hainu Bor. So how would it be different? Ida Lo Avkarinu, Ila Shmol, Diomar Kulomi Bor, Olamadno Hainu Bor. Ilorav diomer kulomi shor lamadno hainu shor maishna bor kein tchilat asiyat anezik mat kashmirat analecha haninami tchilat asiyat anezik mat kashmirat analecha. So therefore told it a bor kabor. So now what? Kikomer of papa must be told it a mava. What the heck is that? Mind you, ilishmul diomer mav is a shame. We already said that told it a shame kishen. Ilorav diomer mav is a adam mayavotu maytodol dit bei baadam. V'chitema avne or told a yashen. So it's not adam who would li olam. Bein er ben yashen, ela akicho v'nio, echidami, ibe hadidase kamaski, that's kocho of Adam, ibatu de naiche, bein l'rav bein l'shmol hainu bar. So, told it a mave, kemave, there's only one thing left, kikam rav papa, I told it to eish, okay, told it eish my nio, ilema avno sakinu maso, shinichan barosh kago, v'noflu beruach mitzuya. Viziko, hechidami, iba hadida azlu kamaske, aino eish, maishanesh koech akram uravben, mamontcha vishmirato alecha, aninami koech akram uravben, mamontcha vishmirato alecha. Ella told it eish keish, ikam rav papa told it a regal. Regal? Okina told it a regal karegal already. Ah, b'chatsi nezik tzorot, deilchata gemirala. V'amai karla told it a regal, l'shalem in aliyah. V'mi boy boy rova, the boy rova, chatsi nezik tzorot, v'gufo m'shalem, v'mi in aliyah m'shalem. Well, l'rova mi boy le, rav papa pshitere. Okay, but you're still going to have to answer. L'rova de mi boy le, amai karla told it a regal. L'potra b'reshut harabim.